Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, May 21st. We're here in the Red Sound Studios out in Warrington, PA, breaking down Philly sports for you. Thanks for tuning in to Rizwit Radio. As always, I'm your host, Justin Emery. I've got my co-host, Mike Irano, here.
And, yeah, we're a little late today, thanks to some boneheaded planning on my part and general inefficiency and ineffectiveness of the public transportation system. But we're going to get right along into a nice show with some NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs heating up. And just before we start anything, I want to just mention something about my man Henrik Lundqvist and give him a shout-out because he's struggling right now.
Swiss cheese?
For a guy who last postseason, you talk about on the crisp of the best playoff goaltender ever. Now, 1 year later, he let up 12 goals in two games. Ridiculous. You talk about, like, he wants to retire right now. Talk about a guy who completely destroyed his playoff legacy in two nights. I mean, when you're a guy who had a goal per game average in the playoffs. So now you add 12 goals in two nights. I mean, that's like playing 12 games. Like, that completely ruined it. His record, probably.
I mean, I don't know anything about hockey, so I'm just going to sit here and be like, yeah, absolutely.
And, all right, so we'll move on then to a thing Justin knows a little bit more about, basketball, and there has been some good games.
Oh, yeah, how about, we actually will have a guest joining us from Houston in about 10 minutes, big Rockets fan.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, is right. It's going to probably break his heart with what we have to say, but I told him, we will get him off the air by the tip-off at 9 o'clock.
So
we have to get him off the air. He's a big Houston Rockets fan. I told him he joined us at 8:40, coming up in 10 minutes.
Let's get him off the air.
We get him off the air by tip-off at 9. So,
we'll definitely be able to do that. But speaking about the Rockets, that was a tough one they lost. You know, they say if any two teams play 10 times, that the other team's going to get a win. So if you say Golden State would probably win 7 out of the 10 times, this was one of the other three. This was a game that Houston could have won. They had a lead and chances early and even were tied at 97-97. But I'll tell you right now, Steph Curry just went along and took the game away.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
34 points. He only took one more shot than Harden and outscored Harden by 6. Now, mind you, they only lost by 4.
Now, I believe Harden was just like one assist shy of a
triple-double. Yeah, of a triple-double. He was really rebounding well. And that's due to Golden State, now helped by the Dwight Howard injury, went with a very small lineup. I think Green was their center for most of the game.
There was a point in time where 6'9" was the tallest player they had on the court.
Yeah, Green was their center. Harrison Barnes at the 4. They basically had 3 point guards out there with either, you know, Curry, that kid Livingston, who's played point guard in his career, and Thompson, who's a natural ball handler.
So the thing is, if Howard doesn't get hurt, the Rockets probably win that game.
Yeah, I would say they most likely would have. Now, you can't take anything away from the game that Golden State played on offense and defense. But really, Houston's got to be looking at themselves like, we let one get away. And I hope they don't have a layover for game 2 tonight. Because if they lose this game, the series is over, in my mind.
I agree entirely.
But, you know, you saw with the last series that the Grizzlies came up and won a game in Golden State and even won the next one in their home. So if the Rockets can come and do that, then maybe you put Golden State in a bad predicament.
Now, since we're talking about this game real quick, did you watch game 1?
Yes.
Did you watch the post-game press conference?
I don't know how much. I caught bits and pieces.
Did you see Steph Curry bring his daughter out?
Oh, I did see that.
I don't understand all the commotion about that.
I guess it's just funny to bring it up, but the whole commotion, I think, was about the fact that she looked just like Steph Curry and even more like Curry's dad. I think they were making a big commotion, like if you put the picture of the daughter to the grandfather, it was like a replica. And the one guy was laughing.
No. The whole problem was that his daughter kept cutting him off.
Oh, that too. I did see that. But I mean, the kids, I mean, most kids, I guess, are shy.
So, I mean, like, I don't care. Obviously, you haven't heard then what I'm trying to talk about.
No,
let me,
no.
Let me pull
I'm
it
a little,
up.
I'm a little off base here. I saw the difference.
Let me pull it up. A lot of media members are bashing Steph Curry.
Because he probably knew that his daughter would do that.
I don't know if he did or not, but let me find it.
Yeah, that was just great. I mean, Curry, I think he made 6 threes. He might have got up to 8. But, I mean, 34 points is just on. Now, 34 points on 22 shots. 23 shots, I'm sorry. Now, think about this. Harden shot 22 shots, and he missed 9. And Curry missed 9 as well and only took an extra shot. But those three-pointers count for him to get the 34 points. You know, so basically, if you really want to break it down, you could look at the difference between Harden and Curry as the difference in the game. Because that's going to be that star player versus star player. Now, I usually don't want to look at, in most sports, you can't say that. But in this situation, the role players basically even themselves out. You know, Ariza was there for the Rockets, 7-10, hit some big threes to bring them back. But, you know, Thompson had a decent game. He didn't shoot necessarily for a great percentage, but when you hit threes, you make up for a percentage. And same with guys like Harrison Barnes, and you get 18 points from Livingston. So Golden State's always going to have two or three players other than Curry in double digits, if not approaching 20.
Absolutely.
And the same thing with Houston. They're a pretty deep team now. Really, Jason Terry, I think, was really terrible in that game. I think he was like 1 or 2 for 7 and really just couldn't find a rhythm. And that's a big miss for them.
Do we, off the top of your head, do you know if the Houston Rockets have more than 2 picks in this year's draft?
If they have more than 2?
Yeah. Do they acquire any through trades or anything, or do they only have their first and second?
They might. I know they lost Parsons. I don't know if they got anything from that. I know that was a restricted deal, but I sometimes you have to throw a compensatory pick. So they probably have more. But to me, in the NBA lottery now, we'll talk about that a little bit with the Sixers having the 3rd pick. To me, the way I look at it, if you're not in the top 12, I mean, even a late first round pick is almost useless. So if you have multiple second round picks, your best case scenario is getting a decent role player.
I want to address the Sixers draft real quick.
Hey, let's dive in.
Because I want to read this text that you sent me yesterday morning.
I was
morning. Pretty
heated after.
Yeah, this is from yesterday morning. The Sixers got so boned this year, they could have had 4 first-round picks and lost 3. That's terrible. The NBA put the fix in because they're mad that we tanked. They're mad because we're going to be a 4th if we had 4 first-round picks. Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to get that next year.
And yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so glad that we got these shock mounts on the microphone because you've already grabbed it like 30 times so far.
It's such a habit of mine. I move so much when I talk that it's impossible for me to have a station. Like
you can't just sit there.
I almost need to hire someone that with a boom mic to just move with my head and my body. I'm a very Italian person and I'm just expressive. But what we're talking about is the fact that the Sixers had a chance to get the Lakers pick, had a chance to get the Heat's pick, and also had a chance to get OKC. Now, we talked about OKC's pick in the last show with them missing the playoffs on the last game. But Miami had a top 10 protected pick. They get to the 10th. You know, 1 pick later, we have that pick. And there was a few shooting guards in that point in the draft that could really help us. And as far as the Lakers pick, everybody knows how that goes. Top 5 protected pick. We're hoping, rooting for the 6th pick. The Lakers jump us, leapfrog us to number 2. So, you know, there goes to show you that. Now, I'm not going to say that the NBA fixed the lottery. I mean, there's been things back and forth over, you know, the last couple of decades about the lottery and about maybe some bias with the NBA. But just seems, I don't know. I mean, the Sixers are never the worst team over the last couple of years, but they've had a chance to get the number 1 overall pick or even get the number 2 overall pick. And it seems they've just fallen short, and it seems that other teams have leapfrogged them, like Cleveland, for instance, last year, getting the number 1 overall pick. I think they had like a 6% chance or something like that, but, you know, it didn't stop them, and now they get Kevin Love. Imagine if we were to got Wiggins now. Now you're sitting, even if you would have got a top five pick again, maybe now you have Wiggins, Russell, and those two. But you got to be, so you got to be happy with that going forward. But you're really going to have to see with him on the court. You're not going to know what you're going to get out of Embiid until 2 years from now. Even if he comes off and has a big rookie campaign, you don't know if the next year he's going to blow his knee out. Or what if he's only got a 4 or 5 year shelf life? I mean, everybody remembers Greg Oden. Greg Oden was going to be the next Shaquille O'Neal. Greg Oden was the greatest thing since Kevin Garnett, and Greg Oden was a bust of all busts. I think he like reappeared on somebody's team like a year ago.
He was on the Heat.
Yeah, the Heat. I mean, he was just there because the Heat were that depleted at the big man spot. And if you really look around the NBA now, this is a pretty big free agent market for big men this year. So look for the Sixers to add another guy.
Definitely. I mean, I was listening to the list on the way in. It's not that overwhelmingly great the free agent.
No, I don't think this year. I think next year is the big year. A lot of guys. Although, I don't know, J.R. Smith, but I think he's going to go back to Cleveland. And I don't know that he's the right guy. I know he comes off a 28-point game last night. But to me, I don't know. I think he's so boom or bust. And I can't believe – I'm almost mad at the fact that he hit 8-3.
Yes. And we're going to bring on our first guest right now. He joins us. He's down in Houston, big Houston Rockets fan. We're going to get him in real quick and out before the game tonight because I know he definitely wants to check it out. I want to say Max Cross. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right, so I want him to correct me if I haven't pronounced it right. He's a writer down for the Dream Shake covering the Houston Rockets for SB Nation. Hey, Max, how's it going tonight?
It's going all right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, it sounds great. How's it going down there? I hope you're getting ready for the big game tonight in about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. Being a Rockets fan, you're almost always the underdog. Even when they won two titles in the 90s, you know, they were the underdogs. So this series looks like the same way. Were you guys just talking about the 76ers having Andrew Wiggins, like trying to make getting that draft pick at some point in the past?
Well, I was just saying last year with the leapfrog that Cleveland made, just kind of throwing a little – I don't know exactly what's going on with the lottery. I don't want to say that they're fixing it in a way. It just seemed like it hasn't gone our way, at least. Maybe I'm a little biased.
Hey, I don't know what you guys need Andrew Wiggins for when you got Furkan Aldemir out of us, right?
Yeah. But tough game one loss. What were your thoughts? I thought the Houston really let one get away. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, that was definitely a game that we could have won. Dwight Howard, him being healthy, him hurting his knee there, ended up being the difference in that game. Really enthused by the play that they put forward. The Rockets lost all four games to the Warriors this year. Several of those games weren't close at all. I mean, 30-point differentials at points in some of those games. So the fact that they came out, kept it tight, withstood all of the Warriors' runs, you know, when the Warriors get hot, there's just not a whole lot you can do. And the fact that they were able to answer all of the Warriors' runs with runs of their own, it was really it was a positive game. So even though it came out as a loss, I think that the team, the Rockets, looked good. James Harden was able to do James Harden things. We had contributions from other players, which oftentimes makes the difference. James Harden can't carry the load every single night. So it was a positive performance. There's groundwork to potentially win the second game. You feel good about games in Houston with how well they played in game one. And it's just going to come down to a question of whether they can make minor adjustments and keep up the defensive intensity that they did in that last game.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought that performance from James Harden was just epic. With the way him and Curry ball, it was really amazing.
Harden wasn't getting the whistles in that game, too. I mean, I know that his biggest critics all say that he lives and dies by the whistle. I don't think that was the case the other night for the final, I think, 6 minutes of the game. He didn't take a single free throw, but scored 4 or 5 straight baskets just back and forth. I mean, he was rocking Klay Thompson to sleep with the crossovers and step-back jumpers. So anybody that criticizes James Harden for living and dying by the whistle as far as his game goes – That wasn't the case last game. He only had 6 free throws, 6 for 6, if I remember correctly. So he's going to get some of those whistles in the next game, and certainly on the home court. And, you know, for him, whistles might be the difference between the 26-point performance and the 40-point performance on any given night.
Definitely. I noticed that the refs were letting them play a little bit in game one, and I think the announcers on TV even made a mention to it. And I'm pretty sure that Josh Smith didn't even shoot his first three throws until well into the fourth quarter. They were definitely letting them play. But
that's a good thing for us.
Absolutely. He was all galaxy in game one. You can't expect him to be that on fire, but, you know, he is the reigning MVP right now. What can the Rockets do different defensively to try to contain him a little bit?
I think that they did everything they could to contain him when they were matched up on him. They let him get loose. They let him get loose and beat him on screens a number of times. You can't give him open looks. They were doing a good job of defending the pick and roll with him. When Dwight Howard has played I think last series when he was on Chris Paul and at the start of this game on Steph Curry on the pick and rolls, they don't drop Dwight back. They leave Dwight up, and he's kind of playing his defense has just been so good that he's been able to stay out at the three-point line and keep the Chris Pauls and Steph Currys from getting easy looks or blowing by him. So him not being healthy is going to be a big problem here because Steph Curry is going to take advantage of the pick and roll. But the main part is not letting him get open. Keep defending him at the three-point line. Don't give him easy looks because they were doing a good job of denying him the shots that he wants to take when he had the ball.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And speaking of Dwight Howard, now I've heard some mixed reports. I don't know exactly what's going on. What is the latest with his health?
He's going to play tonight. He's going to play tonight, and that's just me looking at Twitter and seeing what's going on. But I guarantee you that we're probably going to see 25-plus minutes of Clint Capela tonight. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Clint Capela appears to fit in our system pretty well. I think that Clint Capela might be a good comparison. Everybody rips on Randy Whitman, the coach of the Wizards, saying that it was bold that he waited to play Paul Pierce until at power forward until the playoffs. You know, that was like his playoff strategy. And our playoff strategy on the same line might have been Clint Capela. The guy didn't play in the regular season at all. We rolled him out maybe 3 weeks before the playoffs. And he's got legs. He's got a nose for the hoop. He's got a nose for blocking shots. He's not big enough to get down low and bang yet. And his rebounding needs work, but we're definitely going to see 25 to 30 minutes of Clint Capela tonight. And if they're not going to hack him, that's about a detriment to us.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well, especially his size kind of doesn't hurt him, especially when the Warriors played such small ball. So he's almost being the biggest guy on the floor, you know, even size-wise. With there, I think they were playing Green at the center and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I think he'd be a big key for them to stay in the game. Yep. And he stayed within it. For a rookie, you know, with only maybe 5-10 games experience, he definitely looked like he's had more time than that.
Yeah, he's got good instincts. It definitely looks like Daryl Morey did his homework once again and found a player that just needed to be, you know, shined a little bit. Like, guy has the raw talent. He just doesn't know the systems yet and needs to adjust to the NBA game a little bit.
Definitely. And now, Sam Hinkie, you know, he came from Houston and everything, and he's supposed to be on this team. Now, I'm on record as being a big supporter of this whole plan for the Sixers. But is it fair that we're putting all this trust in Sam Hinkie to build up this super, like, drafted Sixers team that we all envision?
I think that the number one thing is that you guys are doing it, is that the 76ers have, as an organization, made a decision of the direction that they're going to go in, and they're not going at it 60%, 70%, 80%. They're going at 100%. So I think that, you know, Sam Hinkie, if you weren't doing it there, would hopefully be doing it somewhere, because it's a definite system that is going to pay long run. It's going to pay dividends in the long run, Whether or not it's going to pan out with the players is just going to come down to injuries. You know, those types of things happen. You can gather as much talent as you possibly can, but more often than not, a team is going to be defined by whether or not players break down or whether or not other circumstances get in the way. But I think that you guys should feel good about the fact that your team is in it for the long haul and isn't going to try and make decisions just to, you know, sign a bunch of guys the mid-level exception and try and sell some tickets and win 40 games. The goal is to win a title in 4 or 5 years. I feel like with the Rockets, that's the same goal. This season wouldn't have been a success if we didn't win in the first round or if we had just made the playoffs. The Rockets organization wants to win a title. They're committed to that, and our presence in the Western Conference Finals right now shows the dedication that the organization put into getting to this point.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I've kept a little eye on the Rockets ever since Hinkie came here. And
yeah,
you know, it's been I know Hinkie's been a couple years away from there, but it's almost like his baby, and watching how far they've grown and now, you know, competing, especially after this game one. The Rockets, to me, coming into the series, I thought they were a little outmatched, but after watching that game one with Dwight Howard going down and seeing how well they competed, this is going to be a fight for this series, and they've really been a resilient team. It looks like the right kind of players. What's your prediction for this series? Do you think the Rockets are going to pull it back out?
Well, I mean, in my heart, of course, I think that the Rockets are going to win this one in 7 games. I think it's going to be a hard-fought series, though. You know, I don't fault anybody that thinks that the Warriors are the better team in this series. I think that the season and the results of the games in the season prove that. But the Rockets team has shown that it's got the ability to find ways to win. It doesn't have to be the best team. It doesn't have to have the best players. But the team has found ways to win. We're a team that all season long has dealt with injuries. Dwight Howard missed over half the games. He's obviously the highest paid player on the team and somebody who is the anchor of the defense. We are without Patrick Beverley right now, which Patrick Beverley is kind of our Western Conference buffer. You know, the Western Conference has so many good scoring point guards that Daryl Morey of the Rockets decided that by getting someone that can neutralize those point guards, it's a cost benefit in the long run. So we're without Patrick Beverley. And we're out without Giannis Antetokounmpo, who this year has proven that he's, when Dwight Howard was out, that he was our second best offensive option. So those guys are gone, but we've still found the ability to win 2 playoff series. And we found the ability to make players that other teams have cast off, Josh Smith, Corey Brewer, Pablo Prigioni, into integral pieces of the Rockets team, found ways to use them all. If it's not for 30 minutes a game, I mean, Prigioni had 5 minutes that was just lights out in that game 7 against the Clippers that, you know, I'm glad that we traded for him just for those 5 minutes of play. So finding the right situations to use the interesting skill set for players that we have has definitely found us a lot of wins that, you know, other teams don't find, that maybe in some instances we didn't have a whole lot of business winning. But those are the types of things that we need to find. We need to grit out and the types of things that we need to do against a team that, you know, a team that offensively is a juggernaut and defensively is hell.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's one thing that the Rockets are. They are resilient. I will not hide from the fact that on this very show, I was hyping up that I thought the Clippers were going to end it in 5 or 6 games, and they clearly lost in 7, so I will eat my words on that. The Rockets are resilient. But, Max,
yep.
Great stuff. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. I know we're only about 5 minutes or so away from tip-off, and I know that you want to get there for the game. We'll definitely get you out of here so you can watch that, enjoy it, and thanks for joining us up tonight.
Yeah.
And we hope you all get on in the future.
Yeah, I appreciate being on the program. Invite me back anytime. Anybody that's interested in getting information on the Rockets, check out our blog, The Dream Shake, thedreamshake.com. Of course, named after the great Hakeem Olajuwon and his signature move. Check us out on Twitter, Dream Shake SBN.
Definitely. Hopefully, Joel Embiid will be the next Dream Shake.
Yeah.
He's got the nose for defense. If he gets a Dream Shake in his arsenal, that's going to be one unstoppable player.
We can only hope. Great stuff. Thanks again, Max, for joining us. Everybody, that's Max Cross from SB Nation's Dream Shake. Great stuff over there, as always, from everybody at SB Nation. Check him out. Great articles on the Houston Rockets. Been covering them for years over there for them. So
finally getting another chance to be covering into May and June.
Oh, yeah.
And that's definitely, when you're an NBA guy, this is the time you can
watch it and all and everything.
And that's,
if you want. Well, not if you want. You have to if you're a beat writer. But nobody really cares about the NBA until it starts warming up.
Yeah, exactly. This is almost another season. You know what I mean? The
playoffs can go on for over a month.
Oh, yeah. This is another season, really. Especially, with football. I mean, it's a month, 3 weeks goes by and you're already debating the Super Bowl with three games. So it's really a lot. It's really a battle of will in a series like this, in a seven-game series. So now, you know what? That's why I'll say, and I said it earlier, I've been thinking it, that Houston, to me, especially when you say Dwight Howard misses half the year and other guys with injuries, and now they're missing Patrick Beverley, and they're playing maybe the two most exclusive point guards in a row in the league, and they're still standing in there. So, they might just be the team of destiny that shuts everybody up. It's been a while. It's been since the Dallas Mavericks, really, that a team has not just been overmatched the rest of the league. It seemed like, the Mavericks, who really just put it together the right way and just made plays and made LeBron's little destiny team, the Heat, look like a bunch of little boys crying for milk at recess. So a few years later, now you got a team like Golden State with their coach Steph Curry, and everything's going great, and they're going to go and win it all. And now, they still got to beat the Houston Rockets three more times. And Houston has showed, even on their last legs, this is a vicious jail yard dog.
Oh, yeah. Now, we only have about a half hour left. It's going to be a short show today. So we're going to switch topics very quickly for the rest of it. We're going to get in, though, one of my favorite things, because I love to see your reaction.
Especially today. I'm a little off today. I might just curse somebody up. I don't know.
Well, let's see how you have to do with these knee-jerk reactions I came up with you today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. Let's see where we can start off. All right. Now, this is from last week, and I'm shocked that I didn't come up with this earlier, and that this I'm actually upset with myself that I let a story like this slip through.
If you let it slip, I definitely let it slip, though.
Well, North Korea publicly executed their defense minister last week. Publicly executed their defense. They are fucking crazy. We call someone crazy because they cut you off in traffic.
Yeah.
Now you're a crazy asshole. No.
Crazy assholes in this world are people who are beheading people on camera.
So I believe they hit him with an anti-air turret or something.
Oh, my God. You could have taken out City Block?
I know.
I am glad that there is much thousands of miles of just water between us. I am so glad we are out of missile range, because they would have had been shot their whole arsenal at us. They're just mad they can't send it halfway across the world.
I can't believe I didn't pick up on this story sooner.
That is ridiculous. Like, their own people. They're not even murdering, at least, I don't want to talk about ISIS. I'll never say they're good, but, they're not murdering their own people on camera.
Other people.
You hate other people. I get that. Everybody can say they hate other people.
Okay.
You don't kill your dad.
No, some people do. Well, anyway, D.C. was named America's fittest city this week.
Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Got to be made up.
Number two was Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number three was San Diego.
San Diego makes sense.
But D.C.? Why
D.C. is the fittest?
What?
Because it's half ghetto and they can't afford food. That's like a messed up stat. You got senators with AIDS and stuff, and then the poorest people in the country. It's terrible.
Well, Philadelphia ranked 22.
I'm surprised we're not on the other list.
They only rated the top 50 metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
Dead last was Indianapolis.
Oh yeah, they just eat like fried beans. I bet they even fry their beer there.
Do you know where Indianapolis is?
Indiana.
Do you know where Indiana is?
Like, the middle of nowhere.
Like, kind of accurate.
Basically, like, the middle of nothing. Like, the middle of, like...
It's in between Ohio and Illinois.
Right. It's like all corn town, isn't it? Indiana, I think of corn. Is that Iowa? They're the corn huskers. But, like, I don't know.
That's Nebraska.
I just kind of feel
Nebraska. First off, Nebraska's the corn huskers, okay? All right.
I just feel like I just see farms. Whenever I hear, like, Nebraska or, like, Iowa.
Yo,
or, like,
I
just see, like, a bunch of farms.
I just got back from Iowa not that long ago. There's nothing there.
It's just farms, right?
No, there's not even farms. There's just nothing. It's just lands that are flat and there's nothing there. There's a lot of wind turbines in Iowa.
People live in crazy situations.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
I'll tell you this. The one thing that just shocks me on that list is that Philadelphia is not like one of the 50 fattest cities.
No, it's the 22 most fit cities.
If anybody's ever run public transportation, like you see.
Oh, you see some specimens.
You see some specimens. And I don't know if they look like they should be on Fitness Digest.
Oh. Letterman, he's done after 6,028 episodes.
I wonder if he's done more episodes or interns.
Oh, man, I got to write that one down.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to write that one down.
It's got to be close.
Did you take my notebook? Give me that. I need to write that one down. That's a funny one.
I just grabbed stuff.
I know you grabbed the microphone, my notebook. The table,
the bottle of water.
Yourself.
Always that. But, you know, I guess Letterman's had a good run. I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I kind of liked talk shows. I think it was just because I wasn't allowed to stay up. But now that, like, I'm allowed to watch them, I never do.
No, I'm the same way. I don't find them entertaining. I have my own show because I find myself entertaining.
Right. Or, like, I could watch, like, the intro, like, when they do, like, comedy. But then, like, I don't care about Letterman. I don't care what some actor has to say. And, like, I don't want to sit there for 5 minutes while you guys love each other. Like, oh, you're so great. You're amazing. Your movie's awesome. Oh, your show's so awesome. Like, you know you guys hate each other. The fakeness. I can see. That's, like, I think that's my sixth sense. That was my gift. Everybody gets one. That's my gift. I see fake. It's like a big orange on your face. Like, I just can tell.
Oh, I mean, how was your day? The weather's nice.
Fake. Bullshit.
All right, well, how about this? I actually saw the video for this. This was interesting. The National Space Museum, Hall of Fame, Space something. Anyway.
It sounds probably 1,000 times cooler than this, but let's go.
Well, anyway, their security camera twice over the last week has found two mysterious orb objects floating around on the security camera footage. And I saw the footage. It's interesting.
See, I believe there's aliens. I've never met them. I don't know where they are. And there's a lot of things I haven't seen that go on. Also seen the movies before. So anything I see on a camera, like, you got to take that with a grain of salt. Doesn't matter where. I mean, hasn't anybody seen Star Wars? You know, I haven't seen a Yeti anywhere. You know what I mean? I haven't seen an Ewok, you know, but, like, I saw that on camera.
So what do you have to say?
I basically don't believe it because anyone could doctor a camera.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I understand.
But I believe in aliens because it'd be ignorant if this was...
I said ghosts, though, not aliens.
Oh, ghosts?
Orbs. They just see these orbs. They just float
orbs.
Why
is it a ghost? Why is that not... That might just be a different life form. You don't know.
Well, I could be. The guy said that it could be the ghost of Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, the ghost of Neil Armstrong.
Well, they have all the,
you would,
they have
you
all
would
the
spend
shit there.
His time at the friggin' Space Museum.
Well, hey, I'm just telling you what the dude
said
on the camera.
I would spend my time in, like, the cosmos if I had the choice.
All right. So, off the shores of Puerto Rico the other day, they discovered a brand new deep sea creature.
Oh. Like, what kind of creature?
I don't know. I saw a picture of it. It literally looks like a firework.
A firework?
Like, it's a big, like, growing ball that has, like, really thin...
Oh, they found it, like, really deep?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like what they do is they have this boat that goes out like real deep in the middle of the ocean, and they send this camera down that goes down deep in the depth where like the sunlight doesn't even hit.
Yeah.
And it, you know, illuminates it all and takes like these 360 degrees pictures.
Right.
That are in live time, and they have a like an international like committee of scientists that watch this in live time, and you know they identify each animal as it comes across the screen, and there's one that came across that none of them could identify, and like the audio of it, I watched like this, that footage too, and the audio of it is all the scientists are like, you know, we have to really really look at it, but at first glance this is something that none of us have ever seen before.
I wonder, you know, there might be a little Atlantis down there. What if there's a whole nother civilization of people living on the very, very bottom of the ocean where we've never seen? They couldn't get to us. They would blow up in the air, but we'd get crushed under there. We never know.
LGTV, you know, the TV manufacturers, they released a prototype for their new TV. A magnetic strip TV. You get these magnetic panels, and you hang them on your wall, and the TV hangs on the magnetic strips. It's as thin as a DVD, and only weighs 4.5 pounds.
The TV?
Yeah. It's as thin as a DVD, weighs 4.5 pounds, and it's 55 inches.
It has to be so fragile.
It looks like it hangs on like a poster. It looks like you press it against the wall like a poster.
Well, listen, if I know anything about posters, which I do, I've had them all over my wall since I was a kid. You know what happens to posters? They fall down at some point.
Well, I mean, that's why you attach them to the magnetic strip.
It's a piece of paper.
Well, what it is they've figured out some kind of technology that allows the TV to like reflect its own light, so they don't need to put all like the tubes inside of it.
Oh, crazy.
Like I'm not like I don't understand. Like,
listen, I won't be impressed till the day I can pull a 55-inch TV out of my pocket.
I won't
want to fold like a map.
I won't be impressed until the YouTube app allows you to close the video and it still plays music.
It only works even like advanced iPhone technology. It only works like three quarters or half the time.
Yeah,
but like, it's a crapshoot, and that's crazy for something like electronic. You wouldn't think that it would act differently on different days and different weeks.
It
just has a mind of its own, and that kind of scares me.
Oh, it's terrifying. So let's move on. We have, what's next up on? So.
All right, last one.
We got two more.
All right, two more?
Two more. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly, but Takata, maybe, that's how you say it. Because, ready, 34 million U.S. cars for their airbags. It says it's going to take up to 5 years to fix that.
They recalled?
Recalled 34 million cars.
This is like the fifth time I've heard like a different company about airbags. I think they found some new technology for airbags. They tried to make it cheaper. And now, you know, you don't know how a product's going to work until you print a million of them. You don't know. Just like, you know, you might hear about a lot of people getting cancer, but, like, there's 6 billion people on Earth. So, like, even if, like, 10 million have cancer, like, that's a very small percentage. You don't know until you really mass produce something what's going to happen. I mean, I'd rather not find out my airbag doesn't work by crashing headfirst into a vehicle.
Well, that's definitely not a good way to
look. That's not a good look.
No, that's not a good look. And neither is a good look about the last one. An Atlanta area teacher is letting his middle school kids bang each other in the storage closet in the
classroom. Wait, stop. They have sexual relations.
That's not what the headline said.
It said bang.
It said bang.
Does that mean what I'm saying is you're saying the word bang?
I understand what I said.
Not like bang on the desk. Like middle school
kids having
sex.
Sixth,
seventh, and eighth graders.
Yes.
Having sex. In a back room of the classroom while he's teaching.
Yes.
Or I guess he's not teaching at that point. He's probably just sitting around. It had to start as a joke.
No.
It had to start as him coming in hungover, sitting down. Guys, go over. Fuck off. Go fuck yourself. Do whatever you want. And they did. They went and fucked themselves
well,
in
I
the
was,
back closet. And he said, well, I told them to.
I read the other article on it because I couldn't believe it. Like, you know how sometimes you...
Wait, tell everybody where you found this because I'm pretty sure everyone wants to know about this.
CNN.
CNN.com.
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 That's actually where I got all
middle
these stories.
School teacher.
I believe it's still on the homepage.
Students bang. At least he wasn't banging the students.
I suppose, yeah. I
mean, like, I mean, I guess it was in the closet. He wasn't watching.
No, he would just...
Does he have film?
I don't
like,
know.
I don't know if it's like, is it perverted or retarded? Like, I don't know.
Well, I read the story on it because I couldn't comprehend it. And the one mom of the one kid that got caught...
Oh, my God.
Like, had a text message from the teacher that was like, yeah, just make sure you don't tell anybody. You can use it for like an hour. And then also texted the kid asking if he'd come over and take pictures with him before he went to an 8th grade prom.
Wait, okay, hold on. Who asked who to go where?
All right.
The teacher asked the kid to come take pictures house.
No, the teacher wanted to go to the kid's house and take pictures with him and his other favorite student, the guy that he would let use the closet.
So he was just letting boys bring weird girls from wherever they found them.
Yes.
Into the class. So these girls weren't even half the time in the school.
No, they were students. They just weren't necessarily his students.
Oh, so he was trying to be bro.
Yeah.
Teach bro.
Who?
That talk about somebody who's never going to teach again. Oh, why'd you get fired? I was letting my kids bang. Like, no one's ever going to...
No one's going to hire you again.
Like, I don't think a McDonald's would hire you. Well, you can't let the people in McDonald's bang.
Well, you want to hear something wild?
What?
He's only on paid leave. He's not even fired yet.
He's not fired?
No, he's only on
like
paid
immediately.
Leave.
So, that should be immediate. You were letting kids have
Atlanta.
Only in Atlanta. You were letting kids have sex. What if one of them got somebody else pregnant? Like, you would be on... They could have sued you. Their parents could have sued you to pay for their kids. Kid.
Talk about poor judgment.
Oh, that is the craziest thing I ever heard.
As I was reading it, I still didn't believe it.
Like, I'm a cool dude. Like, I would be, like, a cool teacher, I think, or, like, you know, whatever profession that I'm dealing with young people. I mean, I was the best bouncer. I let everyone in. But, you know, I mean, I stopped people from having sex in the closets at the bar. You know, like, that's where you got to draw the line. Like, yeah, okay, like, if you want to leave and smoke a J, that's cool, because, like, I'm just going to say I didn't know you left. But, like, there's nothing you can say when two kids are caught naked in your closet. There is no backing out. There is, like, you can't talk out of that.
No.
There's no way. The Fonz couldn't talk his way out of that.
No, nobody could.
But let's get back. We didn't talk the Cleveland series yet.
I actually did not watch that game,
what?
And I don't even know why. I was sitting there thinking about it today because I knew you were going to bring it up at the show tonight, and I was sitting there today, and, you know, I pre-wrote out on my little note.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't watch that game. I know what happened, but then I was sitting there thinking, like, why didn't I watch it?
And this is a game that went just like the Golden State game almost, where, you know, Houston probably should have won. The Hawks should have won that game.
Well, the thing is like, I know that, you know, LeBron was LeBron.
Right.
I know Kyrie was all right.
Kyrie did not finish the game. He only played like half. J.R. Smith.
Yeah, he had 28 points. I know that.
He hit 8 3-pointers.
Yeah, I know. He had a playoff.
J.R. Smith.
He had a playoff career high.
Half and half.
Mr. out at the bar with Rihanna at 4 a.m.
Like, really, like, I can't believe. And I'll tell you right now, they're going to need him. Watching that series, I mean, they won by 8 points. Now, in an NBA game, you say, okay, 8 points is a lot of points. You're like, oh, that's 4 possessions. But think about this. J.R. Smith is 8-3. Scores 28 points. You know what J.R. Smith usually scores? 14. 16. For him, and I'll tell you right now, J.R. Smith has to average 20 points a game in the series for them to win. And the Hawks really played really shitty after the first half. I think they got a little full of themselves. They had a really good first quarter lead. Even into near halftime, they really made a run back late there at the end, too, to make it competitive. and just J.R. Smith making, and not, he wasn't even making, like, you know, shots like he should make. He's making crossover, step back, three pointers in people's faces. I mean, you know, and I'll say, okay, at one end of every 10 games, J.R. Smith becomes Carmelo Anthony. But the other 10 games, other 9 games, he's like Andre Iguodala, who doesn't play defense. So, unless, I don't know, unless Kyrie Irving steps up, I look at this game when even the Cavs come out with the win, especially, you know, this is both series, really. The favorites both come out with game one wins, but I think there's more questions about them than answers after the first game. And especially we're going to see tonight now, there's just tipped off in Golden State. So we're going to see what Golden State can do if they can come in and win game two, too.
I mean, they're 5-0 on the season, 4-0 regular season, you know, obviously 1-0 in the playoffs. But, I mean, like Max said earlier, the only game that was close was the game one of the playoffs. Like it was like a slaughter fest during the season.
Now, I'll say this, and the four games that Golden State blew out the Rockets this year.
Oh, hold on. Let me
Howard that. Didn't play in two of them, and the other two games, Howard was not 100%. But now, you know, this is what I'll say now. That is the series they're in right now.
Right.
So after game one, you almost feel like, well, now this is what you're going to see with this game plan without Ryan Howard. Dwight Howard. Ryan Howard. No, this is not baseball, and I can't believe I said that. I think I said it twice, too.
Ryan Howard hit a home run today.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Dwight Howard, who plays basketball, is what we were talking about. With him banged up, and then, you know, the Rockets injury-ridden, I find it hard to think that they're going to be able to hang in this series, but our guests brought up. This is a team who is resilient. Who thought that they were going to win down 20 in the third quarter in game six, down 3-2? Who thought they were going to win that? Only, you know, Harden and the Rockets.
To be honest with you, did they even honestly believe they were going to win?
Right? They probably thought they could get close and make it respectful, and then they blow them out by 12. It's not even like they just won.
Yeah, it's not even like they just won that game. Right?
They won 112 to 101. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't believe. I remember, because I saw it in the third quarter when they were up 20, and then I woke up the next day and looked at the score, and I swore it was a misprint. I was like, there's no way. Wait. The Rockets won? And then, you know how everybody knows how game seven went, but I don't know. I just think that it's going to be a really great series, and we've seen a lot of them in this playoff. And I hope we get another one out of the East. Like I said, I'm sticking with my pick. I said the Hawks. I'm sticking with it. I think that they can take LeBron out of the playoff.
I don't know. I disagree.
Especially much wish
who
as one.
I forget. I meant to write his name down. I forget who got hurt.
DeMarco, like, something. I was actually really happy to see that he didn't get really hurt. He's only day-to-day.
Is it?
Cameron?
It looks like, so bad.
Oh, my God. It looked like
I thought he blew out his ACL.
You're talking about a guy who was on 4 or 5 different teams, really had to work his way through the NBA ranks to get to even where he was and about to be on a contract year. I mean, that could have been a career-ending injury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it was really good to hear that he's going to be healthy, and now you don't know how much he's going to play.
I thought he nerfed himself.
Yeah, he had a bone bruise was what ended up happening.
That's it?
Yeah, only a bone bruise. But, I mean, it really looked a lot worse, and he really got lucky, think about it. But we'll see. 2-3-4, we'll see. Game 2-3-4, maybe we'll see him back. But he's definitely not going to be the same guy he was, and that was really their biggest ploy against LeBron.
I'm reading right now from Danny LaRue.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that we had on, the Warriors guy a couple weeks ago. He's saying that Dwight Howard looks visibly uncomfortable and is limping around the court.
I mean, he looked bad last week after that injury. He really just didn't look right.
The thing
and
is,
you
is,
saw,
is,
did you see how it happened, the injury?
Yeah.
The guy rolled
Josh
up.
Smith rolled
yeah,
into
he
him.
Rolled. I mean, that's a big guy to roll into, Josh Smith. And the way his knee bent, and I think was that what was hurting Howard this year? Was it the knee?
Yeah, but it was his other knee.
Right, so that knee's been under added pressure probably, and his other knee might not be 100% yet. How close to it it ever will be again, who knows? for those big guys, they never really heal ever again. It's always bothering and plaguing them. So now he doesn't really have a good knee to rely on. He can post on and really put the pressure on. So he probably really doesn't know what to do. He's probably been favoring that leg since he's been back. And now that somebody rolled up on, I really see, even if he plays, he's going to be a timid player. He's not going to be the Dwight Howard that they need.
No, they need him to go to the rack and be aggressive.
Right, they need him to be throwing those alley-oops down on that pick and roll because they've been so vicious. I'm sorry, that play, I mean, the James Harden pick and roll with J.R. Smith that ends up in James Harden score,
Josh Smith.
Score or a Ryan or Dwight Howard dunk. I mean, that's been the play that has ruined every team in the playoffs. The Mavs could not cover that. The Clippers had no chance with the two best big men in the league, and now the Golden State is not going to be able to do it either. And I'll tell you this: that last game, Bogut had injury. I'm sorry, Bogut had foul trouble in that game.
Yeah, the thing is though, if they can't keep Steph Curry under wraps, though, it doesn't matter.
That's not how you would tackle it. You almost have to if you go and your coaches are spending their time saying, we're going to take Steph Curry away, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get beat by more points because you're not going to take him away. And if you over-pursue him, they have shooters that will bury you wide open. So really, and I think what they showed, you know, they're going to, on the pick and roll, they're not going to let him get open. But after that, you're going to play him pretty much straight up. And you're going to play hard on guys like Thompson and these other guys. You know, I mean, if Livingston doesn't score 18 points in that big second quarter stretch, we're not talking about a Golden State 1-0 lead. It's not Steph Curry. Steph Curry is going to do Steph Curry. You can't take him away. You can only maybe slow him down, not give him as many great looks as he wants to get. But the game plan to me, and I'll tell you, the Grizzlies knew it too. I did a whole chart of their first four or five games. And when the Warriors looked bad, it was not when Curry and Thompson weren't scoring. It was when the rest of the team, it was when the Andre Iguodala, the Harrison Barnes, the Bogut's in the league. If they're not getting points, you know, Barbosa, if those guys aren't banging buckets down, two guys are not going to outscore a team.
No, and apparently Steph Curry is being Steph Curry right now because I just read online that somebody just posted, yeah, that's what Steph Curry does. That's why they know that you're the MVP.
He is an amazing player. He really is. I've never seen anything like
real quick.
I've never seen somebody so dominant from outside the 3-point line.
Let me throw this past you. Now, everybody, you know, says that we have Jordan, and then everybody says the next closest one after that's Kobe Bryant, and then after that's LeBron James. Is it fair to bring Steph Curry in?
I'll tell you right now, before their careers are over, James Harden and Steph Curry will pass LeBron James.
Oh, wow.
What I saw out of James Harden.
Now what,
in
just scoring or total overall everything? Because
now,
right now LeBron has 5 MVPs. I'm just saying.
I mean, then just because they don't get the MVP, what I see from them as far as
game. How would you pass them? How do you consider that getting passed now? Like,
well, I'll tell you right now, Curry will probably get more titles than him, especially with this team they built now. I don't think LeBron gets another title. I don't think the team as Cleveland is going to stay together. I think that Kevin Love will opt out.
I agree. I think he's going to go to L.A.
He's going to go somewhere else. And if you really look at LeBron, I mean, to me, I still have Magic ahead of him. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen Magic play. But, I mean, he makes a lot of the plays that LeBron played. And he plays that same kind of, you know, he's just listed as a point guard, but he was a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he did everything.
He covered the best players on the floor. He was a defensive dynamo. But I'll tell you right now, Magic Johnson was Mr. Championship. These are, you know, when you look at Kobe Bryant, when you look at Michael Jordan, they played their best basketball in the playoffs. They played their best basketball with the series on the line, with the games on the line, and they put their best shots in. And now LeBron, yes, has made some plays, and he's won 2 titles now, but I mean, he's on what maybe the best constructed team with the three biggest superstars to ever be together. Almost. Very close to, if not. So, I don't know. I'm not ready. And even for his second title, he needed Ray Allen to hit the three to take the shot. You know, it wasn't LeBron James taking the three to tie it versus Spurs. It was Ray Allen. And it wasn't always LeBron James before that. I mean, he would kick it out to Mike Miller, who whatever guy who's going to shoot the open shot that he created. But he wasn't the guy with the ball in his hands. You don't just throw the ball to LeBron with 20 seconds left down three. You got to draw up a play. You got to get him open. Now, he made it, you know, three versus Chicago, but I just don't see him as that player. Where, as if you saw the shows that James Harden and Steph Curry put on in game one, and you're going to see one of these guys up against LeBron man-to-man. Not man-to-man, but, you know, their team versus his team. And I think you're going to see easily that either the Rockets or Golden State is going to walk all over Cleveland. And LeBron's going to be sit there huffing and puffing and frustrated. And, I'll tell you, and you know this more than anyone, Judge, I was a really big LeBron supporter at first.
You were.
And I don't know what it is. You know what? And I'll tell you, I think I really narrowed it down to why I don't feel the same way about him. Over these last 3 or 4 years, after seeing his head grow, it was his ego after his championships and stuff, I see him visibly upset and frustrated on the court way more than I should.
Now, was his head growing or just his hairline receding?
Well, that's yet to behold. I guess those things go hand in hand. But, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen LeBron gasp. And he puts his arms up and he's flailing around like he's whining. And I hate that. I hate players who whine and cry.
Yeah, I hate
when
that.
Things
though.
Aren't going your way. You act like a little LeBron baby. And that's what I see. You know what I see from Steph Curry and Harden when they are down? I see the same from them when they're up. They act the same. Just like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. They wake up on the same side of the bed every morning. They go to bed on the same side every night. They just do their job. They know they're the best, and they know they're going to put it in the bucket. LeBron don't have that killer instinct. He's not the Black Mamba. He's not MJ. And I'll tell you right now, Curry and Harden will pass him. I have high hopes still for Kevin Durant, but I don't know. He's almost a little too lanky to handle the ball enough for a team to be that kind of guy.
I agree. I mean, Kevin Durant's a scorer.
Great when you get him on his spot. And
yeah,
he's a pretty good defender.
Yeah, I don't really want him as my ball handler, though.
No, he's a little long. He doesn't really transition the floor. He's probably too, I mean, he's almost 6'11", so he's a little too big.
Yeah.
You know, to really be, you know, your every possession guy who has the ball. And just, you know, not that he can't score almost every time, and not that he's one of the most deadly shooters in the NBA, but you know what? 2 years ago, I wouldn't have said this, but right now I say I'll take Westbrook over him any day.
Oh,
And as the new AI, who actually passes now.
Yeah.
Triple-double machine.
I guess that. Now, I want to leave. You know, we only have about a minute or so left. I want to get this quote up if my iPhone will...
You know, you're always here with WizWear Radio, keeping it to you live. Always check us up on Facebook and Twitter. And no one has taken me up on my challenge for the other starting safety spot. Remember?
Here it is. All right. So this is a beat reporter for somewhere. I don't know where he's from. But he goes, Steph Curry's kid's cute, but that doesn't mean she should be at the presser. There are professional reporters here on deadlines with actual jobs to do.
You know what? I think people take, I guess, there's so much money on sports outside of the guys shooting the ball. So I guess I can see where Steph Curry takes his light thing and the reporters are, you know, whining. But once again, I hate all people who whine. So I say fuck that reporter.
Yeah, I don't even know where he's from, but he's probably one of those old school reporters that hates new media. But everybody, thanks for tuning in to WizWit Radio. Check us out always at WizWitRadio.com. We're here at our exclusive studio where we come Red Sound Studios out in Warrington. Ben on the engineering over there for us. My co-host Michael Irano joining me as always. I'm your host Justin Emery. Tune in next week.
Have a WizWit State Ball.